starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Lexi Pruitt is a speech-language pathologist with a pediatric private practice in Houston, Texas. She started her private practice on the side when living in St. Louis and then moved to Houston and has been building it from there. I've gotten to know Lexi during her time in both the Start and Grow Your Private Practice programs, and it has been fantastic to watch her go from her very first client to planning to hire additional team members. In this episode, she talks about establishing new connections and marketing herself in a new city, how she receives a lot of referrals through a directory associated with a certification program, and we also discuss the benefits of being an in-home mobile therapist, which often allows for more personalized care and time for parent coaching. If you've been thinking about starting a private practice so that you can provide more personalized care for your ideal clients and have more work-life balance, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Yes, so I am Lexi Pruitt. My private practice is Leading Little Language Speech Therapy, and I am located in Houston, Texas.
My gosh, Lexi, I am so excited to have you on the show because I have like watched you from basically day one of your practice, and I'm just so excited for all of the amazing things that you have done and that you're doing. But before we dive into where you are right now, can you please share a little bit about the process of like getting started with your private practice? And how did you even think about private practice in the first place?
Honestly, everything kind of started for me. As a child, I had gone through speech therapy myself for vocal nodule treatment a couple times. And then getting into the field was just kind of fate for me because through high school, my mom's like, this is what you should do. It would be great for you. And I thought, I'm a teenager. I'm not going to listen to my mom. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Fast forward, I'm about halfway through my undergraduate career in business, and I'm not loving it. And I happened to be cheering with a girl who was in communication disorders major, and she was telling me how she could work with adults or children or in the school or in the hospital. And I was like, I always thought about teaching, but I knew teaching wasn't end game for me. I knew that the salary wasn't what I wanted, despite the awesome hours. And I just couldn't kind of make that connection. So then hearing her talk about that, I was like, oh, perfect. I'll Google this. Speech therapists make pretty good money, but I could work in the schools. And if it ever doesn't work out, I can always change locations, which for me is great because I'm a very indecisive person. So that flexibility was exactly what I needed. Fast forward to through grad school, everything's going well. I took a job working in the public school system in Southern Illinois while living in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I worked there for about 6 years, but always had to have that supplemental income of bartending, nannying, waitressing, because as many know, and I was naive, the school salary is the school salary for a speech therapist or a teacher. And so I needed that supplemental income. And then the pandemic happened, and I hadn't been working in the service industry for a little while, but I was still looking for supplemental income. And I also was seeing families come back after the pandemic, and my students, who were primarily preschool age, were more delayed than I had seen them come back from other summer breaks, or I was getting new students who were more delayed than I was prepared for or used to. And then at the same time, these parents were telling me, we got on a wait list because we missed so much time during the pandemic, but now we're on a year wait list. And that just broke my heart. So I felt like if I can meet the needs of these families and meet my needs for some supplemental income and give back and use the time and skill I have tried to hone, then that's what I can do. And it just seemed to be a great thing for me. And I started thinking, okay, I want to do this the right way. So I'm going to start my own private practice and then really think about just doing that on the side to do little things to help get back to the community as well as meet my family needs.
Which I love that. And that's obviously what I teach people to do, right? Is to start practices on the side, like start working with clients, start getting that supplemental income. But I really liked what you said, Lexi, about like there were people who needed help, right? There were people who were waiting for a year and like you just couldn't as a person like handle that, right? As a helping people person who had the skills to help, like you're just like, no, I just got to jump in and like help them, but also like help myself and help my family too.
Exactly. It broke my heart.
I don't love that you had a broken heart, but I do love that it spurred you into action. So what happened next?
So that was early January 2021. And I had an Instagram account for just speech therapy stuff in general, sharing stuff for parent tips. And I came across your account and I feel like it was just subliminally talking to me. So I joined the START program and just wanted to make sure I was crossing my I's, dotting my T's, and then getting that all set to go. And just started slowly seeing clients on the side, just a couple throughout weekends, after school hours, summer breaks. And that was all while I was in St. Louis. So I'm seeing clients there. And then my husband and I got engaged. Well, my fiance at the time, now husband, and we decided we wanted to move to Houston. And that was going to be coming in summer of 2022. And I just kind of felt like I didn't want to start the school job over again. I knew that I would have to take a pretty large pay cut because I had been in a very well compensated school district previously. And by moving school districts, for those who don't know, you start back at the bottom of the pay scale, essentially, or you only get a certain number of years. So I had previously worked for 6 years, and the most I would get would be 3 years put towards my salary. And you can't negotiate that and can't ask for raises based on how well you do and the performance that you have. So I kind of knew that I was going to be stuck in that system. I also knew the retirement system would be a whole nother issue for me to tackle, and I wasn't really thinking that would be great. So I thought, now's the time to really dive in deep, go full time into my private practice. And so that's kind of where I've been at since we moved to Houston a little over a year ago. It did take me a little while to get my licenses and all of that transferred to Texas, but ever since then, just been full time loving it. And it was just such a reassurance to know that in the back of my mind, if I want to go back to the school or any other setting, I can. But in the meantime, this is what's best for me and my family to try to continue.
Yeah. And I love that. And there's so many people who like sometimes move. People move for X, Y, and Z reasons. But I love that you were able to like start your practice in one location and then you take that knowledge with you, right? So then when you move to Texas, you probably just went right back through the START program again and was like, okay, how do I make sure that everything's dotted and crossed and everything else? And then like, tell our listeners, what was it like to kind of start your practice in a new place where you maybe didn't have as many connections?
So it definitely took me a little bit longer than I anticipated because honestly, in St. Louis, I just posted on my business Facebook and I was able to share it out to my family and friends who knew people in the area that might need my services. But also I joined a few local Facebook groups, and St. Louis is a large city, but at the same time, it feels like a small community because everybody seems to know everybody. So I was getting connections much more often. And then I moved and I thought, okay, I'll just join some Facebook mom groups again. Those seemed to work really well for me. And Houston is a very large city. And so I would get calls for people that were had a Houston address, but that were over an hour and a half away. So I had to just kind of be a little bit more specific. I did a lot of in-person, just running into daycares. Here's my information. I'm new to the area. I come to your location type of things. And I was offering free preschool screenings. So I was doing a lot more of those types of things. Again, I went back to the START program. I was like, okay, what did Jenna say are other options to do for marketing? And just kind of continue to put myself out there more and more.
Yeah. And I love that. And that's one of the things that I really like about you is that you strike me as a go-getter, but also not like a pushy go-getter, right? You're like, I just want to help all the people. And so if helping all the people means going into some daycares or making some calls to doctor's offices or posting on social media or whatever, like you're willing to do it, right? Because you know that if you don't do it, then you're holding back. And if you're holding back, you're not helping other people and you're not helping yourself either.
Yes, I definitely had that imposter syndrome. And I would have like all my materials. I'd be sitting in my car, like giving myself a pep talk. Like, it's not a big deal if they tell you no, or they just don't understand, but just get your name out there. And so many of those times where I just left flyers is when I've had parents say, oh, I saw you drop those off, or I happened to see your flyer. A lot of times it would work out and I wouldn't even think twice about going back into the next place then.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So listeners, you do have to put yourself out there a little bit, right? Like, people aren't going to know about your practice, aren't going to know that you exist, aren't going to know that there's an alternative to staying stuck on a wait list if you don't tell people about your practice, right? But just like Lexi's done it, like, you can promote yourself in a way that leads with helpfulness, leads with education versus like being pushy or anything like that. Lexi, tell our listeners, what types of clients do you like to work with in your private practice?
Yeah, so I specialize in early language development and Gestalt language processing, which were both areas that I found deep love for working in the school system. So now I'm able to see those types of clients specifically. I do still have a few other clients that I definitely enjoy still, but I love that I'm able to be a little bit more specific with that. I currently see clients anywhere from 16 months up to around 9 years. But they're all clients that I greatly enjoy, which is definitely a shift from the school caseload where you're told to see everybody. And now I can kind of say, oh, you might not be a great fit for me because I don't do oral myofascial therapy or myofunctional therapy, but I have a friend that does and you can go see her and she refers back to me too. So that specialty is really nice.
Yeah. And I love that too, because like, even though you're in a big city, right, you're in, I think, one of the biggest cities in the US and there's a lot of private practices, there's also a lot of people, right? And it's also very big. So being able to like concentrate your efforts in like a smaller part of town or like a specific geographical area, like you can very easily trade clients like with other practices without anybody feeling like there's competition because you're like saving people's drives across town and whatnot. And you're working with the clients that light you up and allowing other people to work with the clients that light them up, right? Absolutely love that.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
So I remember from a previous call, and also Lexi was on the panel discussion for START students sharing kind of where they are now, which was super cool. But I remember you saying a place that you were getting a lot of referrals was actually like the Gestalt Language Processing website. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I took the Meaningful Speech course to become a natural language acquisition trained clinician. So now through taking that course, I'm on a national registry on their website. So I've had several families call and say, I'm just learning about Gestalt Language Processing. My child, I believe, is a Gestalt Language Processor. I need some insight and book place and therapy that is more tailored towards their needs. And while Houston is very large, I recently found out that I think there's only about 5 of us speech therapists in Houston that are trained in Gestalt Language Processing. So now we have our own little network going so we can refer to each other as well. Because I would, again, get clients that were across the city and just weren't a good fit for me, but I didn't want to leave them hanging. So that's been a huge area of referrals for me, is just getting to that specialty level and having them get back in that way.
Yeah. And I love that. And that can, like, how cool too, that you were able to take a continuing education program, essentially, right? Certification program, and get that knowledge, but now you're using it like for your practice and for the people that you're serving. And listeners, like, any CEU programs that you've done, any certification programs, a lot of them do have directories. And when people are looking for something specific, whether it's parents, whether it's spouses, whether it's physicians or other providers, if they go look in that directory and, oh my gosh, you're the only person in the area or the closest person or whatever, like, what a great way to get referrals for your practice and load you up with the kind of clients that you love to see versus those that maybe you don't love to see, right?
And through that registry too, we were able to say, like, that I do in home therapy versus in a clinic. And so parents know which route, if they would prefer a clinic, then I might not be the therapist for them. But there are so many parents that like the in-home therapy. So I'm usually at the top of the call list.
I love that. Tell our listeners a little bit about what it's like to be an in-home mobile therapist, right? Like, what is kind of a day in the life of, like, someone who travels to people's homes?
Yeah, so my private practice currently looks a lot like me driving often. And I'm okay with that at this point for sure. I enjoy that in-home therapy. I get to do a lot more parent coaching or caregiver coaching because I do work with a combination of parents, grandparents, nannies, as well as some daycare providers, because a lot of them have actually shown some interest as well. So getting to do that one-on-one aspect with the parents has been, again, a shift from the schools where I felt like I wasn't getting that communication time with parents that I desired. And now seeing it in person work, I honestly have known that that's a huge impact for children, but seeing how much of the impact it is has also led me towards wanting to add more of those services for parents to just contact me for coaching should that be what they need help with. But so I get a lot of drive time, a lot of individual therapy sessions, anywhere from daycares, preschools, homes, and then a lot of time listening to podcasts as well in the car.
I love that. And probably, hopefully, get to go to Target sometimes in the middle of the day, right? Or, like, go get your nails done or something. I don't know. Like, it's sometimes nice to have that kind of a flexible job, but over time, it can get a little bit tiring. And so at some point, you might be thinking about maybe having a physical location or at least renting a room or that kind of thing. But I just think that it's so cool to be able to give such functional therapy, whether you see kids or adults, like, to do the home environment. I always love doing home visits, and I think it's an awesome way to, like, really make a difference in the physical environment where the client, like, spends the most of their time.
Exactly. I have so many parents who I just even do a little bit of tips or tricks on how to use toys, because so many parents think, okay, we got the puzzle. I know how to do a puzzle. This is exactly how it should be done. And then I'm able to step in and say, oh no, it's a puzzle that has big block pieces. We can use them as blocks, or we can use them as little pretend figurines and do different things with them. So just a lot of those types of things have been really nice. But yes, there are stops at Target, as well as my lunch breaks are often at Chick-fil-A, where I take many calls.
I love that, right? But you've got that flexibility to make that happen. So my next question is, like, kind of what's coming next for your practice, right? You've been in Houston, I think you said, for a year. And so what do you think for the next, like, 6 to 12 months, what are some of your goals?
Yeah, so over the next 6 to 12 months, I'm definitely hoping to start to hire, whether that be an SLP or an SLPA, I'm not sure yet, because I do have a small wait list for after school hours, but I'm also starting to get a lot of calls because when I first moved to Houston, we were in one area of Houston and we've moved a little bit further since then. So I have a lot of calls still coming in from that area, and I think it might be a great opportunity to hire somebody who could go to that area a little bit more feasibly than I can currently. And then that would also allow me to build my caseload in the area where I currently live. I also like to plan for my future, and should our family decide to grow, I want to be able to have some full caseloads to hand off to potential contractors or other therapists while I'm able to maintain my family life as well and in the flexible way that I want to. So looking to definitely hire in lots of different capacities.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's like, to me, the, you know, a lot of clinicians think, oh my gosh, I don't want to hire. Like hiring sounds so scary, or like, I don't know, like who's going to represent my practice, everything else. Like, but what you do is you lead with your values, right? And you attract the kinds of people who are as committed to your favorite kinds of clients as you are. And maybe people who also want a flexible schedule or only want to work in a certain part of Houston or whatever it is, right? But like, you can only do so much. There's only so many hours in the day. And at some point, sometimes what happens is private practitioners get to be almost like, I hate to say it, you guys, but as burned out as they were in the school or in the wherever they were working, if they're also wearing too many hats, right? So at some point, you got to start taking off some of those hats, and hiring is really the way to do it. So whether you are doing clinical hires, like employees or contractors to see clients on your behalf, especially if you have a wait list that's bursting at the seams, or non-clinical hires like virtual assistants or in-person assistants who help you with the day-to-day operations of your business, this is how you're going to get out of the day-to-day and make sure that you have time for your family, which is why you got into this whole thing to begin with.
That's definitely where I'm at. I'm at the point where I'm like, I love what I'm doing, but I'm spending more time in it than I anticipated. So I know it's time to start that process.
Yes. And I love that. And I'm thrilled to be able to continue to support you through that process, because listeners, Lexi, you're like surrounded by light. I feel like whenever I see you, you're just sort of the kind of person with a wonderful smile who like lights up a room. And you've got to be just a breath of fresh air to your clients. And I love that you decided to choose private practice. I love that you're serving the families in your area. And I want you to keep having that work-life balance for your current and future family. So if anyone is listening to this and is still kind of on the fence about private practice, what would you tell them?
So I would say, if you have ever second-guessed where you're at, if you ever felt undervalued or undercompensated, then give it a shot. There is very little risk to lose by taking the chance, and you just never know what could come from it. I definitely never had intentions of this being a full-time career for myself. Looking back, I think that was so silly because I had nothing to lose by trying this out. And it has been such a life changer for me, honestly. And what my husband has always said, there's always a job waiting if this ever isn't what I need or want. So I think that's something to always keep in mind. It doesn't have to be a full-time big brick and mortar practice. It can be a couple clients on the side. It can be a full-time practice driving like me. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's private practice that you've seen before.
Totally. And because you mentioned your husband, what does your husband think of your private practice?
Oh gosh, he is thrilled at the private practice, especially just like next week is a prime example. I will get to go with him and my family on a week-long vacation to Cancun, which they would do almost every year without me because I was working in the school and couldn't take that time. So he is so supportive, and as is my whole family, knowing that we can build the lives that we want, take the time off that we want, and do the things that we want when we want to. As well as I'm currently projected to make double the salary that I was making at the school system. So that just has also opened up new doors for how we want to invest or how we want to save or things that we want to be purchasing for our future as well.
Oh, I love that. I love all of it, right? I love, again, that you took this chance on yourself, but that also you realize that it's actually relatively risk-free, right? You can always go back to the schools. You can always go back to wherever you are. But like to have taken this chance on yourself, and not only has it worked well, I think it's worked way better than you thought it was going to. And I'm just so happy that you have that flexibility, you have the finances, and you like have that fulfillment again. And again, it's just been so great to watch you thrive in private practice. And I know that the sky's the limit and you're just going to keep growing.
Well, thank you. Everything that you've done has definitely helped me along the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Where can people find you if people want to like look you up online?
Yes, definitely. So my social media is all Leading Little Language. So you can find me there or just Google my business. And I've definitely got my Google page open as well. Where you can find me on the Meaningful Speech Registry.
I love it. Great plug for that. Okay, so listeners, again, thank you for listening. Lexi, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing about like how you moved and how you found particular clients you like to work with and how you structured your day and everything else. I'm sure that our listeners are like so excited to see you succeed. And remember, everyone, if Lexi can do it, you can do it too. Okay, don't you just love Lexi? I love how she wanted to start a private practice and she went for it. And then she moved and went all in on her private practice and is thriving and looking to grow by both specializing and starting to hire. She is a perfect example of someone who had a goal and made it happen. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we support SLPs and OTs, just like Lexi, and you want our help to start and grow your private practice, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.